Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. You haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. And right now we're up to episode 12 of season 7. It's called The Pegasus. It was directed by LeVar Burton, written by Ronald D. Moore. It aired back on January 10th, 1994. In this episode, the Enterprise attempts to recover the Pegasus, a Federation starship that contained experimental technology of vital strategic importance and was also the first starship posting of Enterprise First Officer Commander William T. Riker. Anyway, Christian is here to talk about this one. So right after this, me and Christian are going to go deep on the Pegasus.
The judge advocate also believes that the surviving officers are deliberately withholding vital information from this inquiry. Further investigation is recommended. Will, there was no further investigation. This report was classified and then it was quietly buried. Why?
Sir, may I suggest you take this up with Admiral...
I'm taking this up with you, Will! The judge advocate thought that you were participating in a conspiracy to cover up the truth. Now, what the hell is going on here, Will? Why did that mutiny happen? Why is Pressman so determined to find your ship 12 years later?
I've said all I can. I'm under direct orders from Admiral Pressman not to discuss this, sir.
Christian, welcome back to the podcast, and thank you for phasing into my life yet again. We're going to talk about the Pegasus, which you had chosen as one of your, you know, as the podcast is finishing up TNG, I kind of, I guess, thematically want to match in with everyone is just going to have their final shots at something. So all my co-hosts are coming back and picking episodes that they want to do. And a few new people have showed up, but you chose the Pegasus. That was a roundabout way of me saying that I gave the option of choosing the episode. You chose the Pegasus. So why did you choose the Pegasus?
Well, I was debating between a great episode to talk about how great it was or a really crappy episode to talk about how terrible it was. And I believe all the terrible ones that I felt like talking about were already taken, so I decided to go with a good one.
Oh, there you go.
It's... Speaking in general about season 7, we finished season 7 a couple months ago.
And Star
Trek viewing party,
yep,
where I run. And there was a lot of discussion about, oh my gosh, is season 7 going to be good? Is because everyone knows it has a kind of the stereotype of being a shitty season.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of talk about that, and so I tried to go into it with an open mind. I think that it's not as good as previous. I think it's not as good as previous seasons, but I don't think it's as bad as the stereotype necessarily is.
Sure.
And there are good episodes. I think the problem is, here's a question. When evaluating season 7, do you evaluate it based on just, this is just a season of Star Trek, and outside of whatever greater context of where it comes in the season, it's just a season, or is it, do you prefer to evaluate it as, well, this is the last season, they've been doing this for 6 previous seasons, they should be doing it better. Like, do you feel like it needs to be better? Like, do you think that the bar has to be set higher for this one, now that we know that they've been able to do all this other work, or is it just, well, we should be happy that it's good, and it's halfway decent
Trek at all? I think it's still better than season one. I think I'm doing a fairly good job of, in my own opinion, I'm grading it on the merits of what it is. Like when we sort of talk about the episodes, I will always sort of bring up the fact that, you know, this is season 7, things should be better by this point, or they should be going out with a bang and things like that. But I think my ratings for when I ultimately rate the episodes is based on a Star Trek episode on its own face. So my final ratings don't really have anything to do with season 7. The discussion might have to do more with season 7, but
that makes sense.
The episodes themselves, I think I like to think I'm fairly consistently fair about them, at least in terms of my own opinion about them. And in my opinion, the season 7 episodes have been a step down so far, pretty much across the board. Like, the episode we're going to talk about is probably one of the top 3 episodes of the season. And
yeah, I feel like,
I don't think it's a 5 on my scale to tip that immediately. But like, I don't think there's any great episodes in season 7 outside of maybe the finale.
Yeah, I think that... Have you already done Parallels?
Parallels is done, yep.
Okay, I'm curious. I'll be curious to see what you think of that one. I think that season 7, a lot of the episodes just end up feeling kind of mediocre.
Yes.
Or perhaps just kind of average when you'd like it to be going out on something greater.
Do you think we're just burnt out at this point? Or do you think they're legitimately weaker?
I think that... I don't know if it's burnt out, but I definitely think that... And you talked about this. This show is not meant to be binge-watched.
Right.
And I think that binge-watching doesn't necessarily... If it doesn't burn you out, I don't feel burnt out. But I think it does expose the flaws. It brings to the forefront problems or weaknesses in just
an episode by episode TV show. Right? Yeah, yeah. You definitely start to see recurring themes over and over again. There's just so many episodes
or just
of it.
Kind of, even if it's not exactly the same thing, it's kind of the like high concept things that when you boil it down to a more abstract level are very similar to what's already happened.
It's another dimension where something's different.
Yeah. Or just that just don't come through well enough. There's not enough thought into that. A high concept idea is great, but if you can't translate that into something more specific, it's kind of...
Well, it's funny you mention that because in Parallels, one of the trivia bits was that, you know, Parallels was originally supposed to be a Picard episode. And that eventually
With Worf.
It got changed to Worf. And then the other thing that they were doing were like, should we bring Tasha Yar back? And they're like, well, then it's too much like yesterday's Enterprise. So they're actually running into storylines where they're like, we'd like to do something, but we already kind of did it already. So why bother doing it again? We'll bring back Will Wheaton and he'll come in.
Yeah. Now I think that season 7 has some great episodes. I think that All Good Things obviously is great. I'm looking at the episode list. I think that Lower Decks is an underrated, pretty great episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Parallels and the Pegasus are
those would be your
two
top
other
four basically.
Yeah, I think those would be my top 4. I enjoy Gambit, but I'm not sure if I would put it above any of those.
Yeah. I certainly probably would not, just thinking about it.
And when I was listening to the podcast, I'm like, oh man, he's right.
About Gambit?
A big problem. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Gambit's fun, but it's just not, it's just not a great episode.
TNG, honestly, I think lacks the scale and in some ways the world building, the mythos to really support an episode like Gambit or even The Chase.
Yeah.
I think that to pull off a grand adventure like that, you need to put more work into building a mythology. I mean, it's I don't know what the sci-fi equivalent of a mythology is, but like a sci-fi mythology around the world that's going in. Because otherwise, I mean, so many things, even still with season 7 of TNG, we're still being introduced to so many new things that haven't been established anywhere previously.
Yep. And now it feels awkward.
It's like if Indiana Jones had to explain to you who the Egyptians were.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you were just finding out in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark who the Egyptians and Hebrews were, there's not that much there. Everybody knows who the Egyptians and the Hebrews were. They know about the pyramids. There's a world there that of stuff. There's a word I'm thinking of, but I can't think of it. There's a mythology there
that people know about
that adds color and flavor or whatever you want to call it to the story. And I think that it lacks it. But that's entirely unrelated to
episode. It fits because, I mean, it's like the size of the Next Generation adventures are fairly small on the whole.
Yeah.
you really feel like it's just sort of the ship and things like that, which also, I guess this kind of segues into the Pegasus, which is season seven. I guess I'm starting to have issues with introducing new information this late.
And they should be building off of old information rather than introducing more stuff.
Right, because they've never mentioned the Pegasus before, right? They mentioned the Hood. We knew that Riker served on the Hood, but I don't think
they've mentioned the Hood and the Potemkin, but they've never mentioned the Pegasus.
So it's like it's kind of new information, and it just seems a little bit weird that Riker has had this dark secret for so long, and like it's never been hinted at. Picard even mentions in the thing, you never mentioned you were on a ship that had a mutiny. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think that there's two sides to this. One, I think that you can excuse it to a point because supposedly it was a cover-up and they classified everything, so there'd be no way that Picard would ever know.
Right. They wrote their way out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but then I feel like, I don't know how well Pegasus builds into the Riker that we know. Because Pressman keeps talking about how he'll be so serious. I'm not sure I get that. I get the point about, you know, he's just out of the academy. He's all about duty and honor. So he wants to impress. So when his captain tells him to do something, he's going to do it. But, I don't know, talking about him as if he was so serious, the Riker that we've known this whole time is super jovial. He's the most easygoing one in the entire crew.
Yes, it's a... I don't believe that he was not the way that he is.
That incident doesn't lead to him being jovial.
Right.
I don't get it's
the wrong outcome for
the connection. And it's a problem that I think it's a problem with a lot of different. Anytime you try to introduce a new element to a character's backstory, does it jive with what we already know about them? Dark Page is a better example because now it explains some of why Laxana Troi is so protective of Deanna. So you can say, okay, that fits. I can believe that. But if they did Dark Page and this whole time Laxana Troi hasn't given a shit about Deanna's safety, well, then we'd be, well, hey, what is this? This doesn't jive with what I'm seeing.
Right, yeah. A doesn't lead to B. I agree with that take on Riker's character. It seems totally made up.
Yeah, it seems like it's banter to show that they're friends and to show that they knew each other well a long time ago, but it's inconsequential and incongruous banter.
Well, I mean, it sort of matters because it goes against the. Riker's shown character development in that now he's going to stand up against his commanding officer, basically. Although they don't really pair it off with Picard all that well. He stands up against Pressman, who's some guest of the week actor character that we don't really know all that well.
Yeah.
But I think it feeds into the thing that Riker's storyline was never about growing in that way. Never gaining confidence was ever Riker's problem.
Yeah.
And
I think that it may have worked better if it was earlier in the run of the show.
Probably.
Because then it would at least be a good reason for why he never leaves the ship.
Right.
Well, now he's not going to be offered a bunch of promotions. Now he's stuck there, and maybe you could work it in with a plot of him saying, oh my gosh, did I miss my moment? Was that my only opportunity to actually get my own ship, and now have I screwed the pooch? That's something more interesting that you could do rather than doing it at the very, very end.
I kind of thought that the show did a good job of picking a problem that Riker or something that Riker could have done that is not crippling, but it's not small potatoes either. You know, like it's not like he murdered somebody and has been hiding out and like now the show is completely changed and he can't go back. Like the problem is small enough where he basically lied to an investigation. That's basically the worst crime he did, right?
Yeah.
So that's not that huge of a deal, and I think it's an issue that, you know, it could have gone the way of Force of Nature, where it could have just been like such a huge problem that it would have been like made no sense how the show can continue like that. Because
I fucking hate that episode.
This episode ends in a pretty TNG way where he's arrested and then he just walks out of the cell next to Picard.
Yeah, and I think that's. I have a bit of a problem with that just because, again, it's TNG's non-serialized nature. This is something that could really have benefited from even TNG's limited form of an ongoing plot line. This is like Riker's version of his of Worf's discommendation.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they could have mentioned it a little bit, anything. I feel like, oh man, that was a doozy what you did. But don't worry, we'll never bring this up again.
I would have ended the shot with Riker sitting in the brig still. Like, I don't think he needed to let him out. I would have been fine with him being out in the next episode, but maybe just ending it in the brig, sort of head in hands, as sort of a defeated man or something.
Or maybe Picard leaves and, like, gestures for him to follow, but Riker doesn't get up.
Right,
he's
like,
I don't know.
I betrayed you with John Locke from Lost.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what did you think of it's Terry O'Quinn who is John Locke?
That's his name.
From Lost. And
he's good.
Yeah, I think he's an excellent admiral in a show where it's basically a cliche at this point to have the evil admiral come on board.
And honestly, a lot of admirals are kind of dull. I mean, he's a white dude. I don't know how colorful he is necessarily, but he's definitely he has more personality than most of the other admirals who are completely interchangeable. The only
you pair him off against the lady admiral who's the sort of talking head. Yeah, the one in this episode.
I don't know. Yeah, she's completely forgettable.
Right, that's what I mean. She's just one of the forgettable admirals who talks on the view screen occasionally.
Yeah. He's good. He kind of reminded me of Jellicoe. A go-getter. I feel like he would not get along with the kind of lax Enterprise crew.
Yeah.
But he's good. It's nice to see when they bring on kind of good, strong characters like that. And he definitely has a strong personality. I could see why he managed to get a bunch of people on his crew to follow him along.
That's a good point. He would be a difficult character to go against, I guess.
Yeah,
he
can
be
very
persuasive.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very strong. I think he's a good casting choice because he's strong enough to sort of stand up to Riker, even though he's small, even though Riker Frakes towers over every other actor.
Yes. Yes.
You need someone who can like energetically go against them and make you feel that he's a threat and B, mm-hmm. there was a reason why Riker would stick by him, even as a younger person. So, basically the quick breakdown of the plot is the Enterprise is sent to go find the Pegasus, which is a ship that Riker served on as a helmsman when he was fresh out of the academy. And the Pegasus was lost 12 years ago, and they send out this Admiral Pressman, who used to be Riker's captain on the Pegasus when it was lost. And uh-oh, there's a deep, dark secret. It's revealed that the Pegasus was a test ship for a cloaking device, which is against the Treaty of Alderaan, which I think the Treaty of Alderaan ended the Romulan War, if I'm not mistaken.
It's not specified. Let me see. Keep talking while I look it up.
So, this is apparently something that's in the Treaty of Alderaan. You can't, the Federation has agreed to not even research cloaking, I think, at this point, instead of just not using it. So, this is the first episode that mentions why the Federation doesn't use cloaking devices, which A, comes very late, and B, kind of had me feeling that Pressman had a point about this. And I think that the Treaty of Alderaan should be renegotiated or something at this point.
Yeah, what do you think of the treaty in terms of... Well, first, according to Memory Alpha, it did not end the Earth-Romulan War, but it was signed after the Tomed incident.
Oh, okay.
Which was mentioned. It's not some other bad incident with the Romulans that occurred some time ago.
Yep.
And
I think that's one of those events that no one knows what it is. It's just like a horrible thing that happened.
It's basically an update to the peace treaty.
Yep.
It's like, oh, we had another issue. Let's talk about it again.
Oh, I
okay,
see.
We're good. Okay, we're good again.
So they have.
What do you
this,
think about the treaty?
The only thing we know about it, right, is that the Federation can't use cloaking devices.
Yeah, what do you think about that aspect of it? Do you think
I think that's it's them trying to write around Roddenberry's weird idea that the Federation doesn't use cloaking devices because they don't sneak around. The cloaking technology seems to have way too many advantages, and almost every other alien species seems to use cloaking devices. I mean, if I was arguing this from like a real politic type view, I would say the pressman has the correct interpretation. I think he's going about fixing the problem the wrong way. They should probably just try to renegotiate the treaty. But I think it's almost unfathomable that they would not go after this kind of technology because it's so useful.
Yeah. I think there's a couple things to consider. One, for kind of the Black Ops missions that they might need a cloaking device for, it seems pretty standard procedure that they just go to the Klingons and ask them for one.
Yep.
So in some ways, the Federation, if they need one, they know where to get one. It's like they might not have the stand mixer to make the brownies in their house, but they have a friendly neighbor who will let them borrow it.
Sure.
I don't know if there's any real world parallel to the Treaty of Algeron. I know that there are like governments sign treaties that we agree not to, you know, bomb civilians or to use chemical weapons on each other. And I know that in terms of researching stuff, I know that before World War One, it was after World War One, maybe it was on both ends of it, there were treaties that restricted the size of battleships.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the Germans did to kind of aggravate tensions is they started building battleships in excess of the treaty. But that was on both sides.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I mean, a more recent one would be Iran not allowing them to build nuclear weapons.
Oh, there's one.
Yeah. So I think it would be something like that. And, like, I guess the... I wonder if that actually disproves what I'm talking about, because I guess there is but the cloaking device does not have an active threat to it.
Yeah,
really.
I did see one time, and I might be misremembering a little bit, there was a large post, I believe, on the Daystrom Institute subreddit, where a guy was theorizing about why the Federation has cloaks and why they can get away without having them while the Romulan Empire apparently needs them. And his theory was that the Federation wildly outnumbers all their opponents.
Yeah.
And so they just stack huge amounts of ships on the border as their kind of defense, which is why, and it tied in with their design kind of style or the design dogma and why Federation ships are kind of multi-role ships like this and why they're not warships.
Right.
And that the Romulan Empire needed a cloaking device because they have so few ships, they need to be able to basically defend. The cloaking device helps them defend more territory with less ships by making you uncertain about where their ships are.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Basically,
sure.
The Federation can say, hey, we don't need this because we have you so outnumbered. You need this just to survive, so we don't care.
Sure. The funny thing is that they're just going to throw this out the window anyway with the Defiant. So it's like they were clearly working on the cloaking technology. You know, they wrote that episode, obviously, or that series of episodes after the Pegasus came out.
Jumping the timeline, the Romulans are the ones who give the cloaking device to the...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
But there's a limitation there. I don't know how much they actually stick to it, but there's apparently a treaty with the Romulans on its use, and they're only allowed to use the cloaking device in the Gamma Quadrant.
Right.
I don't remember how much they actually stick to that.
So what's one little ship going to... They're just writing themselves... They're trying to write themselves into a spot where they're comfortable building stories off of, and it just seems like it's so hamstrung at that point. But
I mean, there are certain things where you should write yourself in such a way that that your limitations make sense. Like, why can't we do XYZ? Well, naturally, it's because of this. And as long as it feels natural, well, then, okay. It's like with any kind of pseudoscience, like the transporter, which is why the transporter is so problematic. Because the rules for it are always changing, whenever you try to limit it, it sounds like you're just trying to write yourself into the corner you want to be in.
Right.
As opposed to, like, they come up with all kinds of reasons why they can't get to the Pegasus except with the Enterprise, because they knew, in the end, they needed the Enterprise to be inside the asteroid because it needed to be trapped, and they needed the cloak to be a phasing cloak because they knew that the Enterprise would be in the asteroid and it needed to escape with the phasing cloak.
Yeah, I'm torn about that. I feel it's a lot of construction to get us to the point, but I do think it's kind of a neat dovetailing where the technology allows them to escape, which I think is, you know, not the clunkiest bit of writing that the show has ever done. I appreciate the fact that it actually works out like that. I think that I can't remember watching this episode long ago enough to realize that they were talking about a cloaking device, because they cryptically call it the experiment the entire episode. Like, oh, what are we going back to the experiment?
Yeah, I don't think it's meant to be clear what they were doing.
No,
I mean, you could, if you were gonna guess what forbidden technology what the Federation was.
But do you think
it's a cloaking device? But
is it a little bit of a letdown, or is it appropriate for the show? I feel if I was watching it fresh,
I think it works out pretty well.
You think it's okay?
I think it's okay. I mean, the Federation are a bunch of fastidious rule followers.
Or Picard is, anyway. It seems a good portion of Starfleet is not that way, which is...
I don't know. I think to them the ethical thing of, well, we have a technology that we're not supposed to have, of course we're going to give it up because that's what good Federation people do from Picard's point of view.
Yeah.
I think it works out. I mean, I think that what else could it be? A cloaking device at least makes sense within the Federation's kind of ethos. Pressman is not a maniac necessarily. He believes himself the ultimate patriot. He believes in everything that the Federation is doing, and that's why he wants to protect it. So he's going to go around their backs and create a special cloaking device because he feels like that will protect Federation interests.
Yeah,
it's not like he's saying, "Well, we need to wipe the Romulans off the face of the planet."
Right.
So I developed a super weapon that will destroy Romulus and any enemy capital. I think that would be too much. Mustachioed villain or insane admiral kind of Pressman thinks he's right.
Yeah.
And I think there's an argument that he might be right from the audience's perspective. And I think that the cloaking device is benign enough that lands, that it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the only other thing I can think of that makes any more emotional impact is a weapon. A super weapon.
I feel like the episode kind of hints that it's some sort of warp technology, just because they say it's a warp explosion.
They talk about the engines.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where they're trying to lead you to think.
And it reminds me a little bit of Event Horizon, because the ship ends up somewhere that they weren't expecting. So it's kind of like, you kind of think that it must have jumped somehow. And that's not the case at all. It's just got a cloaking device and it drifted inside and then conveniently failed. I think that I think this is a solidly good episode.
Yeah.
It didn't really... It's funny. This is one of the episodes I remember growing up watching the sort of trailer for. And I feel like I think it's more impactful than it actually is. I think it's good. I don't know... Mm-hmm. I don't really even know what my problem with it is, outside of the fact that I kind of have a hard time with the... And this goes back to our discussion about how the sort of themes are wearing thin a little bit. Like, why would a top secret Starfleet mission, in order to recover their like sort of goods, just send one admiral on a ship that no one on the ship knows what the mission is? Why not just send a smaller ship with people who all know what the mission is to go get the thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose the question... Well, here's one question. Are we led to believe that the only people who knew about the original mission were Pressman and his crew?
No, I think it implies that Starfleet Command seems to know a lot about this.
I mean, for the original one, when Pressman was originally on the Pegasus and they were trying to build it.
Yeah, I would have to assume that their superiors knew at that point, too. That
the
CIA version of whatever Starfleet is.
I forget what Pressman said. But he said there were some lines of his that seemed to indicate that he was doing it basically on his own.
Yeah.
Which makes sense in that, why would they have to recover this thing? Don't they have copies of the information somewhere?
Right.
I think that it might be that Pressman did it on his own, and they found out about it after the mutiny, and they've basically been waiting to try to get their hands back on it, if at all possible.
I still think they would just build another one. You know, it's like blow up the Pegasus and build another one and just move on with your lives. It's that kind of like...
I think the only way that would make sense is if all the stuff was on the Pegasus and he guess he didn't take his thumb drive with him.
Right. Yeah, I guess that and fits in technologically.
I guess you'd have to think that the conspiracy is just not far-reaching enough that they don't have an entire crew of loyal followers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like the director of Starfleet Intelligence, is she literally the only person in Starfleet Intelligence in on this? I don't know.
Right.
I think that their plan would have worked better if the Pegasus was just drifting around and they managed to find it. I think a lot of what Pressman is trying to do is hampered by the fact that it's literally stuck inside an asteroid. So at that point, he can't keep up appearances. Obviously, it's not some random thing. Something they did. Its current state is a direct result of the experiment. So now he has to just pull the "it's classified, I can't tell you" card.
Yeah, I guess. I think that the story should have the more typical story would be the Romulans find it, right, and they have to either go in and get it back or destroy it or something like that.
No,
but that wouldn't take advantage of the cool asteroid phasing scene. So they couldn't do that.
Do you think that because Riker was originally involved, do you think that Pressman told him, "Oh yeah, Riker's totally on our side," and so they thought, "Well, we have our man as the XO of the flagship. This is totally the best way to do it because."
That's interesting.
De facto control over the ship.
They never say that in the episode, which is odd. Pressman seems surprised when he beams on board and he sees Riker. Maybe not surprised, but he's kind of just like, "Oh wow!" Like, I'm big into more. I only sort of believe what the script tells me.
I read into it a lot,
right?
So.
And if they don't mention that this was part of the plan. My interpretation was it just seemed to be a lucky coincidence, which maybe doesn't make a lot more... It makes a lot more sense to go the other way, that Pressman actually planned for it, but didn't. They don't acknowledge that, and then...
Maybe that's why it's not hitting a five for you. There's just kind of... There's nothing blatantly wrong with it, but there's lots of little things that leave you wondering, why was it this way? Why was it that way?
Right. I think that's...
They could have built more off of it. There was untapped potential or little mistakes that kind of just added up.
Yes. I think that's... And I don't even think it's that bad of an idea. I think it's like a good, solid script idea.
As with... I think that... Here's a question for you. Out of all the ideas of Star Trek episodes, how many of those ideas are just straight up bad? Like, even from your best episodes to your worst episodes... Regardless of how they actually turned out, regardless of the execution, how many episodes are like a terrible idea? Like, this will never work. They should never have tried this.
I mean, they could all always be fixed, I suppose. I think some of them have really... Like, I think almost every Prime Directive episode is a failure of understanding what they're talking about. That's the only one that really sticks out in my mind. As to an episode that I'm always like, well, this is just going to be a disaster, and it usually is. Why, can you think of one outside of that?
I'm sure I could probably... I'm not sure. I like to think about ways to fix things. I could even think of a way to make... Have you done Sub Rosa yet?
No, that's after this, an episode or two. Two episodes.
Okay, yeah, there we go. Like, I could even think of ways to make that one... decent.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that it when you're saying it's not a bad idea, I think most episodes don't have bad ideas. In fact, I think they're if series were rated purely on their ideas, I think that you'd have a lot higher ratings. I think that it's a lot of problems in the execution.
Yes.
So to say that it's a good idea, I think most episodes have at least good ideas. Well, some ideas are better than other ideas, but
sure. I think that fixing the idea substantially is basically changing the idea of what you're talking. Like if this episode was, you know, Riker goes to find a ship with a cloaking device and, you know, the Vulcans are on it and the Vulcans want to talk. It's like, it's sort of the same idea, but it's not really exactly what they're, what they've done with it.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair.
I think that they, it's definitely more of an execution problem that they ever have. But I think that this idea of an episode, it kind of fits everything I'd want from season 7. It's a character showpiece. It's like developing a character a little bit. For some reason, I feel like I say that about every season 7 episode. And when they deliver, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of not what I'm not what I'm looking for. So I don't really know what I want to expect out of these episodes.
I think it's good. I think it's just a little bit misplaced.
What's the biggest problem with the episode, do you think?
From my perspective?
Yeah.
I think just a little bit of... I like it a lot. I'm not sure exactly what my problems would necessarily be. I just can't help but feel like it would make little adjustments here and there and put it earlier in the run. And also, I think that... I don't think Frakes does a bad job at all, but I think that his turn in the episode could have been better. Picard talks about how, oh, when he came down to it, he made the right choice. He doesn't actually say anything until they're actually trapped.
Right.
And at that point, it's tell them about the cloaking device or go to a Romulan gulag.
Yes.
I mean, how much of a good choice was he actually, how much of a choice was he making, and how much of it was, well, I'd rather not, you know, be a Romulan prisoner.
Right. Yeah. He's the character's a little bit hamstrung by the needs of the story as to when he reveals.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think that him yelling at Pressman is good.
Yep.
But I think ultimately some of it is let down by, I think that more lead up to this might have been good, or tying it into what he's done before. I don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to surprise people with my rating of it, but I think that it's just, I think that for, in terms of Frakes, I love Frakes. I love, Riker's been like one of my surprises of the rewatch, actually, how much he's actually grown as an actor, and I like the character, and I like the character's stories. I think that he's forced to play his role in things a little bit too obviously in order to make the audience keyed in on the fact that he's, he was related to Pressman in the past. Like, there's no subtlety to Riker's sort of like disguised hatred or discomfort when he's around Pressman, which maybe a more subtle, or, you know, another hour on the show would have allowed him to do. But that would be my only problem.
I think that it might have been nicer to show him shocked, but more initially willing to go along with it.
Right.
But the more he thinks about it, the more he realizes, no, wait, I have changed. I'm not that young ensign. What we did wasn't right, and he can't reconcile that. So that is kind of what builds to it.
He's hanging out with the guy and having beers in 10 forward before this. You know, it's like, it's not like he's haunted.
Yeah, I think they should have played up that. I think they should have played up that more. I think that Pressman should have approached him as like, okay, we are using the ship because we know that you're, you know, down with it. You're a patriot, right?
Yep.
Show off that some of Pressman's charisma, how he managed to convince an entire ship to help him build a phased cloaking device.
Yep.
And then you get to see Riker turning from that, kind of reverting to the good boy follower, going around to finally standing up to Pressman.
Yep.
Here's a question for you. Do you think Riker killed anyone on that ship? I might be just reading into it too much, but when he's talking to Picard about what
the phaser fight that they
did,
yeah,
he says, "So I picked up a phaser and I defended my captain."
Yep.
That almost makes it sound like, I think he definitely, at best, he stunned a bunch of people on the bridge. At worst, I think he might have killed some people.
I think that
would have been a very interesting bit of story and guilt. Like, what if he did kill a bunch of mutineers?
Yep.
That were turning on him.
I like that they're called mutineers. It sounds very like Disney-esque or something. Someone on the viewing party subreddit sort of brought up the, I didn't really notice it, but I think it's true. Ron Moore occasionally like overwrites the dialogue a little bit, and the amount of like he took that phaser and he pointed it at me, there's a lot of that dialogue in this episode, which is very funny when you notice it. He's like, I should have taken the phaser from you and pointed it at you. It's a lot of silly threatening with verbal phaser attacks and everything like that. But I don't know what, like, I mean, I guess Riker's guilt is just the fact that they didn't save those people. Yeah. It feels very, like,
maybe
I don't really understand why they had to leave the ship. You know, like, if you're defending the cat, like, what was the, let them mutiny. It's not like they're going to kill the captain. You know what I mean? Like, just go to the brig. I don't know what he was so scared of and why they had to leave the ship for the ship to blow up.
Again, I think the only thing you can do is infer that Pressman, regardless of whether or not the crew knew about what was going on beforehand, they probably would know by now. And if the mutiny was sparked in part because they realized we're risking our lives to violate a treaty and we could get ourselves in a lot of trouble, all right, now we're going to stop this and we're going to stop you. Pressman is thinking, well, this is going to get out.
Yeah.
So we have to stop them at all costs. And that escalates the tension between, it's not just a, oh, we're going to put a stop to this, but we're going to stop this. We're going to go to the, I almost said Russians, but basically we're going to go to the Romulans.
Yeah.
We're going to let them know. We're going to hand this over to them as evidence. And Pressman's like, we have to absolutely stop them. And maybe they were shooting to kill at each other, and that's why they had to get off. I don't know. Or Pressman thought, these kooks do not know how to operate this machinery without me around. They're going to blow up the ship, and I do not want to be on the ship.
Yeah, I think that maybe that's the implication that makes the most sense to me. And that ultimately is sort of what ends up happening.
I'm sure Pressman framed this as a life or death decision.
Yep, yep.
Like, we have to get off. There's no other choice.
What would that...
And I think...
Oh, go ahead.
Maybe part of the problem with the episode is that they're simply not a strong enough emotional core. Ultimately, Riker didn't do anything that he should feel that guilty about, because he was just an ensign, a new ensign, under a very charismatic captain who wasn't doing anything overtly evil, that was trying to do something for the good of the Federation. Pardon me.
No worries. Yeah, trying to do something for...
trying to do something positive for the Federation.
Yeah.
And in the end, the stance is, well, we should tell the Romulans about this because it's the right thing to do. Maybe there's just not enough of an emotional backbone to it that gets you really riled up or teary-eyed or anything like that.
Probably. Because I think the technical aspects of it work. It probably is just the emotional stuff of... I don't know who this Pressman character is. Like, he's appeared out of nowhere and he's telling me something about Riker that I don't really believe and everything like that. But I agree. Let's. I'm going to play an audio clip. We're going to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and ratings. You'll see how it all shakes out on our scale of 1 to 5. Audio clip right now, and we'll see in a couple of seconds.
What's the matter, Will? Don't you understand? We found it.
I know. I kept hoping it wouldn't be here. That it had been destroyed. That it was buried in that rock back there.
What the hell is that supposed to mean?
It means that I can't put this off any longer. Right up to this moment, I had the luxury of time. But now I've got to make a choice. And Admiral, I'm afraid my choice is this. I can't let you start these experiments again. It was wrong 12 years ago, and it is wrong today.
You had better reconsider that position, Commander. We have a mission to accomplish, and you're going to carry it out.
That's all you care about? Starting these damn experiments again. Look around. This room is filled with dead bodies. These people died because of this thing.
Keep your self-righteous comments to yourself. I knew most of these people a lot longer than you did. Yes, it was tragic, but it was their fault.
You don't know that. Neither of us knows what happened after we left.
Well, it's not hard to guess. They tried to shut down an experiment they didn't understand. Something went wrong and it killed them.
No. We killed them.
All right, we're back. The Pegasus. I always just want to call it Pegasus, but it does have a "the" in front of it. It's another great ship name. A lot of good ship names in this episode. Crazy Horse is one of my favorite names for a ship.
Me too.
It's a damn fine name. And Pegasus. Why is it called Pegasus? I can't really think of any reason why that name thematically works.
Pegasus was a winged horse?
Yeah.
No clue. I feel like, I don't know, maybe because they wanted to do something mythological and Icarus would be too much nose.
I was thinking, I keep interpreting it as Icarus, but it's not, and I don't know why. Icarus, I guess, is just too on the nose, right?
Yeah.
Anytime you try to do something and fail, Icarus seems to be the name for it. But anyway, guys, if you want to vote on what you think this episode is on our 1 to 5 scale, you can click in the upper right-hand corner of the YouTube video. It's a little poll function. For anyone listening as an MP3, it doesn't exist for that, unfortunately. But YouTubers, vote away. So, Christian, scale of 1 to 5, what are you going to give this thing?
I will give this a... I was debating between a 4 and a 5. I think I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Sure.
It does not drag. There's nothing that is cringeworthy about it. I didn't feel like, oh my god, the scene needs to end right now. Riker was standing a little weird in that stupid Klingon judo outfit.
Yeah.
But I can forgive that. It was pretty exciting. It was a great guest character. The writing, while maybe not perfect, isn't bad, and I think it just doesn't have quite enough to keep it from being great, and because I can't really put my finger on what that is, I feel like 4 is underrating it, but 5 is overrating it, so 4.5.
Yeah, where do I sit? I have a hard time. I don't really know why I don't think as highly of this episode as, like, a lot of reviews seem to think very highly of it, too, and you obviously enjoy it a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people are wrong, but I don't know. Like, I'd have a hard time thinking about whether or not this is better or worse than Parallels. And I think this is slightly worse.
I think
worse.
Parallels is definitely better.
It's definitely better. Okay.
I would rate Parallels a 5.
Okay.
And a strong 5.
So tempering that, I feel like this is better than a 3, though, because it has enough interesting stuff going on that I think it's... I'm going to give it a 4, is what I'm saying. I think it's a 4. It's probably on par, if a little bit behind Parallels. It's definitely a little bit behind Parallels. But
yeah,
I think it's an enjoyable episode to watch. I think it's good for, like, new people. It's got a good, like, action-y hook to it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're unfamiliar with Riker, the storyline might work a little bit better for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, 4 out of 5 for me. Pegasus, interesting. And you give it a 4.5, eh?
Yeah, if I had to stick to a number, I'd say a really high 4.
Sure. It's guys, it's Pegasus. This, I guess, just call your episode a P title, and it'll get a good score on this in the 7th season anyway. But guys, thank you very much for listening. If you're on YouTube, like in the comments. Appreciate it. If you're on iTunes, a rating and review helps get the show out there. You can rate us on all your favorite podcatchers. We'd appreciate it. Facebook.com/ThePenskePodcast. You can go there. Join the discussion. Join that small group. You can also go to Patreon.com/ThePenskePodcast. A couple dollars a month, you get exclusive podcast content. We talk about things other than Star Trek. Talk about movies, things like that. I think we've got Highlander coming up in the works.
Ooh.
And
are you doing one Highlander?
One and two. One. What do you mean one? One.
There can only be one.
Oh yes, yeah, right? Yes, absolutely. There can only be one, but there will be two episodes of the podcast. Yeah. So that's it, guys. Christian, thank you very much for coming on. You check out
Star Trek
Viewing Party on the subreddit on Reddit. These guys are currently in season 2 of Deep Space Nine, so I'm a little
bit in the early part of season 2 of Deep Space Nine. We'll be doing either at the end of season 2 or shortly into season 3, depending upon if we do it exactly chronologically. We'll be doing Star Trek Generations, and then also I want to be posting discussions threads for the TOS episodes that you will eventually be doing.
Yeah, so TOS is coming out soon.
I think that'd be fun.
Because I do need to get it. These things go by so quickly. I do need TOS to come out so I can time the movies better. So that'll be coming, and you guys can go to Star Trek Viewing Party to match up the discussion with the podcast at that point.
Love to have you guys.
Absolutely. And Christian, thanks again.
Thank you very much, sir.
Guys, have a good one, and I will see you in a couple days with... What the hell is after this? I know what it is. Oh, Homeward. Bodhi comes back, and we talk Homeward. See ya.